Armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to save
idea?
The pub cup. Really, this is
you
what
have
you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. WrestleMania is taking center stage next hour, and I could not be more excited or more lost. Getting ready for that part of the show.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I am doing fine. Joey and Tones are on the way, and they are going to do the first WrestleMania preview on this show ever that I can recall. I can remember talking a couple of sports shows that we did. I can remember talking some wrestling with Big E back in the day, but I can't remember ever having like a preview going into. I'm pretty sure we've never done a preview and whatnot. I remember we did the big debate, is wrestling a sport, and that kind of fun stuff. But we're gonna have a lot of fun with it today. It's a TGI Friday. Bobby's on the way. He'll be here momentarily. We got to get you ready for March Madness. There's only three more college basketball games left. What caught any of the NIT? I fell asleep. I tried to stay awake for it. UAB lost. That shocked me. I thought UAB would walk away with it. But congratulations to North Texas as they are the NIT champion. And you've got the Final Four. There are folks in South Florida who are hoping for a Miami FAU clash. You've got San Diego State in it. You've got UConn in it. We're going to get into all of that. Before we get into any of it, I did want to get into a lot of this MLB stuff that we've got going on. I did not know the news until we got off the air. I got off the air and I got a text from one of the guys, and they mentioned, hey, Justin Verlander went on the IL. I said, Justin Verlander went on the what? God, dog it. And I wish I would have known, but I had done if you weren't with us yesterday, we did the play-by-play of the Braves Nationals, Atlanta getting their first victory of the season on an opening day. It was a fun day. We finished the show and we went straight into reactions to opening day. But only thing I could react to was what I just called play-by-play. I didn't see any of it. I saw some stats and whatnot, but I had no idea. So I get off and I start looking into it and researching it. And this morning I was listening to some New York radio, and the guys that I listen to in the morning and from New York, I'll listen to it for about 30, 45 minutes in the morning. Typically, to be honest, they're not baseball guys. They don't really know the game of baseball. They don't follow it. They're fans of the Mets and that's about it. And they're more NFL guys, right? They're much more into the National Football League, and that's their mainstay. So they were kind of sugarcoating it today and saying, oh, this is good. We're going to get it out of the way and whatnot. And I was like, okay. And I looked into the information this afternoon when I was prepping for today's show, And what I came up with is they could not be more way off base with this. And I know they're going off of the information that they were receiving. But this injury to Justin Verlander could be very serious because it is very similar. Now, it's supposed to be a lower grade strain, but it's very similar to the one that they diagnosed Tristan McKenzie for with the Cleveland Guardians earlier this week. I think it was Tuesday. Long story short, McKenzie is expected to miss at least 2 months because they're going to have to shut him down and do some work on him and then build him back up. Now, they're saying Verlander is going to continue to throw and they'll reassess it. They're going to do another scan next week. It sounds like about a week from now. So probably like a Thursday or Friday type deal. They're going to give it a week. I'm really confused. I don't understand why he's going to continue to throw if it's this crucial of an injury. And also, whether if it is a low-grade strain or not a low-grade strain, wouldn't you want him to rest and then reassess it next week? Don't do any more damage? It's really strange. Now, I know that they're saying that it's going to be light throwing, but I would just I am just as a general sports fan, not a doctor, I'm a little surprised by this. I'm a little surprised because I've never come across a situation before with a baseball pitcher injury and they say that he's ailing and the first thing they're going to do is continue to throw. Normally they say that they're going to shut him down for a few days, give him some rest, and then reassess it then. So this is strange. We'll see what happens with it. But this could be a long IL stint. Now, he signed a 2-year deal and they're probably looking at it big picture no matter what, that, hey, we want to make sure we get at least one good October out of this guy. And if we have the worst case scenario, we have to go out there and do something drastic like some kind of surgery, either A, he's lost for the year, or B, he's lost for a good chunk of it. They're going to look at it from the opportunity of, well, let's make sure we get him in one of these Octobers ready to roll. I know Mets fans are saying, no, we want them in both, and I get that. And of course you do. Of course you do. But it's going to be interesting to see what the prognosis is next week. I don't think we'll get it early week. I think it's more likely to come Thursday or Friday. I fully suspect that we're going to get some kind of Friday news drop, as teams like to do. And we're going to end up with either an actual timetable, because right now there is no timetable. Or B, we're going to end up with something to the effect of there's a minor surgery or they're going to shut him down and then they'll reassess then. But I, from the most optimistic standpoint that you can have if you're a Mets fan, I think bare minimum, he misses the first month because they're just not going to rush him back. Now, what are they going to do until then? Tyler McGill's coming up and he's going to pitch. I believe he's still set to pitch tomorrow. I don't think they changed that. I'm going to double check it real quick, but let me go ahead and share the probable starters up on the screen as we keep rolling here on Braves Country HD. But the matchup tomorrow, and they did get the win yesterday, and getting the win yesterday, I believe, is a very important win for the Mets, especially now when we are talking about having a situation where the Mets are going into this as they're already behind the eight ball, no matter how you look at it. They're already behind the eight ball because going in, they've lost their closer, Diaz. Now, Robertson came in and got the save yesterday. That's fine, but he's known to be hit or miss. What they hope they get out of Robertson is a solid year and a year where he only blows a few saves and he's a very good closer, but he's not realistically a shutdown guy, which is what they lost. So they're already behind the eight ball there. Then you've got, and I mentioned this when we were doing the preseason, then you've got two starting pitchers who are 40 apiece and one of them's already hurt. And the other one, Scherzer, has gotten the last two seasons, one with the Mets and one with the Dodgers, he's had dead arm issues. So what is going to be the workload they're going to be able to put on him? I don't think it's going to be very logical to think that Scherzer is going to go the entire year, make 35 starts, 33, 30. I think best case scenario, even if he doesn't get injured, if I'm the Mets, I'm skipping starts with him. So that takes me to around 25 to 28 starts with him. Well, how many starts are you going to get out of Verlander now? Best case scenario, 25 starts. And that's assuming he comes back quickly. Remember, this same thing happened last year with DeGrom. Same exact situation. And they kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And the next thing you knew, it was in the middle of June before he was making his way back. And I just don't think the Mets can do that this year, because I would hope that Atlanta doesn't scuffle their feet all year long. I think Snicker might have a little – Snicker already yesterday, if you watch the game, listen to the game right here on WQEE or on Braves Country HD, Snicker already looked like to me a manager that wanted to win games early and wasn't just going to ride the wave. Because I don't think he wants to be in a situation again where he's chasing someone down at the end. Still wants to win the division. Don't get me wrong. But he wants to have wins in his pocket and not constantly be looking up going, now we're 5.5. Now we're 6.5. Okay, we're 4.5. Now we're 7.5. Just constant. That's all we dealt with last year. And it took a toll on the entire team. And I just think they ran out of gas. I think they were flat going against the Phillies, taking nothing away from the Phillies. Phillies kicked our butts fair and square. Nothing taken away from them. And they might have beaten us anyways. They were a very hot baseball team. But Atlanta ran out of gas, and you can't say they didn't. They just absolutely looked flat. So tonight, they are going to Peterson. I think I said McGill. I meant Peterson. They're bringing McGill up, and Peterson's going to take the start today. He's going up against Lizardo, and that's a 6:40 first pitch Marlins-Mets. Miami's got a very good chance to win that game. Lizardo had kind of a down year last year, but Lizardo's a legitimate number two pitcher in Major League Baseball. And on some teams, he'd probably be your number one. So he's legitimate. There's only five games today because yesterday was opening day, and I get this question every year. I'll go over one more time. The reason why so many teams take the day off today is because in the cities that host the opening days, there's typically a lot of events after the game, and it's more of a day of rest. It's not just for the players. It's realistically for the media and the fans. They kind of figure if they go opening day and everyone gets all excited and then they play a game the next day, there's not going to be a very good turnout because people are going to be tired from everything that went on the night before. So that's why they're doing that. We say, well, why are the Mets playing? Well, because they're in Miami and nobody goes to the games anyway. So, you know, you're fine. It's a little surprising that the Astros, after winning the World Series and opening day, that they're playing, but they are playing tonight. But if you notice, if you remember last year, we played, but that was different because that was the lockout. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with that. So Astros, White Sox, good pitching matchup, Malin and Javier. Freeland versus Nick Martinez tonight. I expect that to be a high scoring game. And you got Diamondbacks versus Dodgers, along with Guardians versus Mariners. So those are your five games today. If there's two games you want to lock in, obviously Mets and Marlins at 6:40. If you want to take on one of those night games, pretty good pitching matchup, Dustin May versus Merrill Kelly, Dodgers and D-backs. That's the game I think I'm going to focus in on. Because you know me, I'm a National League guy. If you're an American League guy, the White Sox Astros game is a good matchup as well. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, the kid's with us, Bobby, and we're going to talk March Madness. We're going to talk about what in the heck is going on in the NBA, and we're unveiling it for the first time. We're only going to get a couple of picks in today. because the WWE WrestleMania is coming up at the top of the hour. But today we're starting our mock draft, our slow burn mock draft, all coming up here in just a moment. Keep it locked in here on The Key and Braves Country HD wherever you stream.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 first pitch. It's the Atlanta Braves at the Washington Nationals. Spencer Strider versus Josiah Gray. We'll have it all here, pitch by pitch, inning by inning, play by play, here on Braves Country. That's Spencer Strider Day, Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 Eastern, right here on Braves Country.
Hey folks, this is Mark White with The Mark White Show, and you can tune in to The Mark White Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Rock 99 WQEE The Key, the home of Southern sports and talk.
I, one of Barney's best friends, promise never to interfere with his personal life again. Unless it's an issue of health, national security, or he's about to get up on a fatty.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the all-American man.
Welcome back. TGI Friday, and that must mean Mr. Bobby Schneider's with us. Bobby, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fabulous. Getting ready for a busy weekend. Got Major League Baseball going back into full gear tomorrow. And then, of course, the Final Four. You can't forget that. And then I know you're as excited as I am as WrestleMania is here.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait for next hour because I'm gonna be lost. I researched and I started going, I mean, I don't even know what the heck I'm trying to do here. What am I researching? all I'm doing is helping out clickbait. So I just got out of that real quick. Before we get into the March Madness, real quick with the NBA, it's winding down, and we're getting to the point now. Where, but by the way, are you into the golf majors?
I don't keep up with golf as much. I'm not a big golf guy.
I didn't think you were. We have the Masters next week, so I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, the national championship is Monday night, and baseball is going to be just going in full swing. And that's the best part of the year, as it is anyways. And then the NBA, their season's about to begin in a few weeks. We get all of these, we get all 82 of these preseason games out of the way.
About time.
NBA has the longest preseason in any sport. hockey's a close second, but they're the longest. Because when I saw the other day that in the NHL that you had – was it like yesterday or the day before that the Golden Knights had secured a playoff berth? And the first thing that came to my mind was they just secured a playoff berth. I was like, don't they? And I checked. I was like, yeah, they got the most points in the Western Conference and they just secured it. So there's some validity to the fact that the NHL regular season has some merit, right? NBA regular season is zero merit. No. Especially now that they have the play-in game. I mean, my God.
Well, play-in game and the load management, it's just, it's not really worth watching.
No, it's, and their numbers show it. But I tried, okay, so baseball was going on yesterday. I was watching the NIT, which, you know, I'm much bigger into college than I am pro, but the Celtics were on, so I was like, okay, They're playing the Bucks. I'll on one of the TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And before I ever sat down with dinner, I looked over, like, my God, the Celtics are up by 30. And I thought the Greek Freak didn't play, but they said he played. So I was like, I give up. I don't know why they beat him so badly. But I was like, well, that lasted a very, very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch any Major League Baseball yesterday, by the way?
I didn't know. I kept up a little bit, though. I was keeping it up with it on social media mostly, but I didn't watch any of the games.
Man, don't cheat yourself. You're missing out. It is bang, 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 bang. It is fast. Hmm. Much, much faster pace than basketball is nowadays.
Okay.
The last 5 minutes of the NBA takes 4.5 hours. It's just with the the free throws and all that stuff. It is bang, bang. The pitch clock, I would strongly suggest you check it out. I don't know if there's one on tonight that you could check out. I know you're going to watch it over March Madness, and I get that.
Yeah.
But there's going to be games on this weekend. Just check out a couple innings. You're going to be surprised how fast it goes. It's to the point where I saw some kids on Twitter, younger kids. I think they're actually might have been a few years younger than you, and they were talking about how they couldn't believe how they never reached their phone during the game.
That's rare.
Is the perfect sport to be watching, but you'll scroll through Twitter and you'll do other things and you continue to watch, and it's very subtle that way. Now it's, man, it is just, I mean, it is to the wall, nonstop action.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stat that Steven shot me earlier today. So there was, I want to make sure that I got this right. Last year on opening day, there was there were five steals on opening day throughout the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, 25 stolen bases.
Wow. And that's even with the pitch clock?
It's with the pitch clock, but
Realize
they've changed a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is the bases are a little closer, not by much. It went from a 15-inch circumference to 18 inches.
Okay.
So you're getting about half a foot between first and second and second and third.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're getting 3 inches here and you're getting 3 inches there, obviously the other thing that they threw out there, and this is to me the bigger one, and this is why the stolen bases are going to go up. I don't even think they needed to do anything about the actual bases, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
You could only have two pickoff moves. And that is one of the things that slowed the game down so much, right? A guy would step off, he would throw over, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you do anything that resembles a pickoff move, you don't even have to throw over to first.
Yeah.
But if you step off the rubber, it's going to be considered a move.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You get two. Once you burn those two, this is per bat. Once you burn those two, if you throw over to that base a third time, you better get them. Because if you don't get them, it's an automatic balk, and he takes the next base.
Huh. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I was against it at first, but I see the value in it, and it's growing on me.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little that's the one I'm most leery of. But if I see that it doesn't make a huge difference. So 25 stolen bases makes a huge difference. But it doesn't make a huge difference. It's growing on me. And then the other big thing is the shift has been banned.
Yeah.
So you can't stack a bunch of guys on one side of the field and they just dribble it into the teeth of the defense. I don't remember what game it was yesterday. It was after the Braves game, after the show. I had another game on. I was walking around with the dogs and my wife. We were talking, but I heard it in the background. And someone got a base hit that scored two runs. I don't remember who it was. And I heard the color commentator say, last year that's an out because you got three guys standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And his counterpart said, that's absolutely right. I didn't think about that, but that is definitely an out because that's where they all stood. I didn't turn around to see the play. I kind of got the gist of it, but I was like, yeah, I saw it unfold during spring training, it's really going to pop. And I guarantee you, and Major League Baseball already has the second most viewership and second biggest fan base in America behind the NFL. It's just going to grow. It's not going to outgrow the NFL. We know that. But it's going to grow. It's going to close the gap. And that's the big thing they're trying to do, is get a younger generation watching. Rules all crammed. A sport that's realistically never changed for 150 years did a big cram session.
Yeah, well, I'll have to give it a try. I'll watch some games. I'll probably tune into a Rays game if I can.
Yeah, I would suggest, do you have the baseball package or anything like that?
I don't, no.
You don't? Okay. I'll take a look at the break and see what games might be on. Do you have access to MLB Network or you got access to ESPN, right?
Yeah, I have access to ESPN. I can find ways to watch the game. I mean, I'm not too concerned about that.
Gotcha. So. All right. So NBA real quick, we are sitting at 70. So we've got about five games left for most teams. Some teams are sitting at 77, some are at 78. So what that realistically means is about 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I believe, is this the league that ends their entire season? Yep. Their entire season ends on Easter. I thought that was strange. Just from a viewer standpoint.
Yeah.
Most people just try not to do anything on Easter. Baseball kind of has to, because their season's just taken off. But I think like NASCAR doesn't do anything on Easter. But anyways, the final day of the season, I guess everybody's playing at 1 o'clock.
That's strange.
That's something new. 1 o'clock, or if you're on the West Coast, 3:30.
Yeah.
Now that's taking they're taking a tip from baseball, who their entire regular season ends at 3 p.m. Eastern. They do that so that there's a competitive balance. And if a team needs this team to win and this team to lose, you're not scoreboard watching. You say, well, so that's what they do. I'm a little surprised NBA just didn't put everyone at 3:30, right?
I mean, yeah, that'd make more sense. But I think that's one of the problems I have with the NFL, is a lot of teams in the last game of the season, they'll look at the previous result of a game that mattered to them and decide whether or not the last game matters.
Yeah, but they're so greedy. They're never going to, like, it would be great if they did it like baseball and said everyone's playing at 3 o'clock, right?
Yeah, they won't do that.
They won't, but it would be fun. It would be really fun to do that. They usually do a pretty good job of staggering the times, but it's impossible to get it perfect. All right, looking at the standings, is there one particular thing that jumps out at you that says, next five games, I'm interested about this, or are you pretty much just coasting to the NBA playoffs?
Well, I tell you what, there's a big game tonight. It's Lakers and Timberwolves, and they're playing for the 7th seed. Now, obviously, there's still room for both these teams to move around, but this is a huge game for the standings.
Lakers, Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see it now. The Pelicans are right there too, huh?
Yeah, and the Mavericks, I think they're still right outside the playoff picture.
Yeah.
Terrible.
The good old Kyrie effect.
I had them as the team that I thought was going to go far in the West. I thought since Luka got his guy, he got his second star, I thought that'd be enough. That has gone terribly.
I mean, we called it when it happened. Joey and I were on the show because he tweeted me something as soon as the thing started falling apart. Because I had made the joke. I said, what's the over-under on this dumpster fire? I said, I've got before the final four.
And I think right.
And I think he called something about, I think he called it like right in the middle of the playoffs, or I don't remember what his prediction was, but as soon as it happens, he goes, we had this. And I look up and I see the interview of Luka talking to Kyrie that we played on the show a few days later. But, and he's he won't say his name, but we know who he's talking about when he says he's miserable and he's never been unhappy playing basketball. Yeah. Luka's always been one of the happiest guys in the NBA. Kyrie's been his teammate for like 3 weeks and he's wanting to slit his wrist. Like, what is that about?
He's ready to retire after just a few weeks of playing with Kyrie. I don't know. Look, you don't have to be a big LeBron fan, but I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he made that work.
And you know what's really done? And this tells you how desperate LeBron is.
Mm-hmm.
The consensus is that Kyrie's going to go sign with the Lakers in the offseason.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hope he does. Because, I mean, get your popcorn ready for that dumpster fire.
That would be entertainment.
Because LeBron's body's starting to fall apart.
AD obviously already has.
Oh, dude, he's probably going to catch a charge in the locker room for just slamming Kyrie's head through a wall or something. Because he has like one glimmer of a hope of one more championship.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically going to tie all his dreams to Kyrie.
And that ain't going to go well.
It's going to go worse than tying all your dreams to Russell Westbrook. Oh, what a disaster the NBA is. The only thing that I have, but I don't think they're going to catch him. I swear it feels like they don't care. Feels like they haven't cared for the last few years. I wish the Celtics would get the number one seed.
Mm.
And I know we didn't get it last year, and I know we went into to Milwaukee and won game set. I get that. But I would like to have home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially against potentially a Bucks team that'll have Chris Middleton back. That was a big difference in the last series.
Well, Chris Middleton and all the other guys that they've added. Yeah. I mean,
Jay Crowder.
This team's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a true battle of Titans when these two meet in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to have any kind of feeling of, man, I wish this team was in. No, you're going to be like, Bucks, Celtics, let's go.
Well, I think those are the two best teams in the league right now.
The standings would say you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I still say that Denver is a paper tiger.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like that they are a regular season warrior.
Yep.
And that's about it.
I tell you what, they remind me of the Jazz who got like the one seed and they were always like a high seed with Mitchell and Gobert. And they'd always seem to go out in the first or second round. That's just the impression I get from the Nuggets.
And you knew they were going to be very good in the regular season. And nobody lost any sleep going, oh man, we got to play the Jazz.
Nope. In fact, I think there was one year with the Lakers where they were like an 8 seed or something. They said they wanted to play the Jazz.
Yeah, they like lost a couple of games so they could play the Jazz. It may not have been the first round, but it was so they could set it up for the second round.
Yeah.
All right, right now, and we'll revisit this before the playoffs, but right now, who's in the Eastern Conference? I mean, who's in the NBA Finals?
I got the Suns and I got the Celtics. I think they get it done. I think after last year, I think they make it back to the finals. I'm still worried about Jaylen Brown. He kind of concerns me with how he's kind of iffy on coming back, it seems like. So I'm worried that that'll play into them long term. But I think the Celtics are going to come out of the East and the Suns. Yeah, Jaylen Brown.
He scored 30 last night.
I get that, but have you seen the videos of him talking about, or he seemed pretty non-committal about coming back?
You're talking about free agency.
Yeah, and I'm looking ahead here. When a player has a mind on like leaving a team, they tend to, I don't know, you see it in their performance.
Gotcha. I thought you meant something else. I was like, man, well, little I did see, he was playing lights out.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to affect him, come playoff time.
But I would think he'd be – okay, so if you do leave, you're going to be more motivated, won't you?
I guess that's possible, but I don't know. If there seems to be a rift growing between him and the team, then that could cause a problem in the playoffs. From
that rumor that stipulated that he was going to be a part of a trade that brought in KD.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I think a lot of it started. I think that's where a lot of his frustration, I guess, with the team started.
I mean, that's something they don't have to worry about for a hot minute. I mean, he's got a contract through 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be a free agent next summer if he decides to go that route.
Yeah.
But remember, the only way you can sign, everyone calls it the bird deal or what is it? The mega deal or whatever.
Supermax.
Supermax, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can sign that is if you sign it with the team you're with.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they trade him and he signs with that team, he's going to make a hell of a lot more money staying in Boston.
Yeah, that is true.
But I'm not too worried about it. I figured that they're going to get a championship either this summer or next summer, and then they'll just deal. Okay. Let's take a real quick break. We come back, March Madness and the NFL Draft. Round one, pick one. Bobby's on the clock. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
He only has three rings.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Le'Veon Bell, he put out a single for people to listen to on Twitter of a rap album that he's really proud of. He asked for people to critique it. Keenan Allen, the receiver of the Chargers, came back with the trash emoji.
Appreciate your honesty.
And what's even better, I can't do it justice because we're on radio. You've got to see the video. The video that he put up. Oh, my God. It's like the most funny and exciting thing I have ever seen because it's like really bad late 80s, early 90s rap video. But anyways, the video is the best part of the whole thing. He's got a hoodie on. It's staged almost like black and white. He's like under a bridge somewhere where there's like a bonfire going.
Hard times.
So like, yeah.
Hard times.
You know, hard times for a guy making millions.
He can relate.
But the funniest part is when he's got the hoodie on, he's doing poses and stuff like that and kind of jiving around. And then out of this is the funniest part. Out of nowhere, sorry, I can't get it out. He comes up from under the screen. So in other words, like
his, from the Muppets or something?
Almost like the Muppets. Almost like the Muppets.
When you see just the figure just come straight up.
Yes. The kid comes straight up while he's also in the background. Uh-huh. It's like the worst thing put together ever. I don't know how to edit a video. We could do better than this. I'm telling you.
Who's the director, Pouncy?
Armchair.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. drive time on WQEE.
You know what your problem is? Your face.
Yeah, right.
Come on, wise up, man. You're too good looking. These girls go out with you and they get nervous, man. They feel bumpy. They don't want to compete. The best thing that happened to you is an industrial accident.
Welcome back here to Braves Country, and Bobby is on the clock, but before we get into that real quick, I do want to get your predictions for March Madness, and I thought I had it up on the screen, so I do apologize. Give me 1 second. I'll get the March Madness up on the screen, as we've got, I think, going to be two pretty entertaining games. I know people are telling me different because I've kind of asked around everyone I run into, who are you pulling for and what do you think kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
There are some folks that are excited about this. I've ran into other people going, I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. Like, I don't even care about these teams, right?
For the casual fans, I get that. I could see why they're not really tuning in.
Especially if you're in the Southeast and you're not a Hurricane fan,
mm-hmm.
You might be a little bored with this because you don't have any of the blue bloods in there other than you can almost start making the argument that UConn's an almost blue blood, right? Mm-hmm. But San Diego State, FAU, Miami, that's not really moving the needle for anybody.
Mm-mm.
Unless you're from Florida, you're a Hurricane fan, you just happen to be a graduate from one of these schools. So it'll be interesting to me to see what the ratings are on Saturday, because I think they're going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
And I didn't even know it was going up against WrestleMania until just Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever it was, I saw it you know, come across my timeline. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's incredibly bad timing. I mean, kind of for both, but mm-hmm. it's
especially bad for college basketball.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I think if you're a diehard wrestling fan, you're not going to miss it.
Yeah.
You're just not going to miss WrestleMania to watch a basketball game. Mm-hmm. You might have two devices going and you might be keeping the screen on like I do when I'm watching baseball and there happens to be an NBA game on.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be listening to WrestleMania, because the one thing I do know about the sport is that it is nothing but theatrics. It's nothing but dramatics. And if you can't hear what they're saying, you're not going to get entertained.
Yeah.
So it's, I wonder if it's always like this. I'm going to have to ask Joey and them at the top of the hour if it always runs into Final Four time, because it seems strange. It seems like to me WrestleMania would do good to almost be like the Saturday after the Masters. I feel like that would be good timing.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's already kind of into its season. I guess you would run into NBA playoffs, but man, that play-in tournament. Oof.
When you get, it's hard to avoid everything. You're going to overlap with something.
Right. But I think of a wrestling fan more likely to be a college basketball fan than an NBA fan.
Yeah.
It just seems like that, but I have nothing to base that off of. San Diego State 2.5-point favorite. Connecticut's now a 5-point favorite. Gosh darn it. I knew I should have waited. I thought that line was going to go up, so I took UConn when it was 5.5.
That's what I saw the odds at earlier, and that's what I have written down in my notes here. But, yeah, I like mine. I just assumed.
UConn's been blowing the doors off here. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, mm-hmm. UConn, to me, is the pick to win it all and win it all easily.
Yeah, I think that's the safest bet, too. They've been crushing the last two teams they – played. They blew out Arkansas, blew out Gonzaga, and I thought that Gonzaga game was going to be really good. UConn clearly showed that it wasn't going to be. They demolished them, and I don't think they're going to stop. I know I've been counting Miami out for most of the tournament, but I think this is where it ends tonight or tomorrow night.
By the way, quick programming note. Tonight, River Dragon Hockey, 7 o'clock, Air Force Heating and Air pregame show, and the puck's going to drop at 7:30. And then Saturday, once again, River Dragon Hockey, the Air Force Heating and Air pregame show is at 6:30. Puck's going to drop at 7. WQEE is going to carry Braves Country Baseball 4:05 first pitch tomorrow afternoon leading up to the hockey game. And then if you want to catch the tail end of it, you'll just have to jump over to our YouTube channel, Braves Country HD. I think now that the first game's out of the way, I think that second game's going to move a lot faster. Yesterday's game was slow, but it was because the Braves starting pitcher got injured, came out, and they had to piece together the entire game with the bullpen, and they made more. I don't remember the last time I saw Brian Snicker make more in-inning bullpen changes than I did yesterday. And it was strange because normally he's the – whatever, if we lose, we lose. We're going to be good enough. We'll go. Man, he wanted to win yesterday. And I like it. I like the fact that he's being aggressive, and hopefully we see it all year. But I think a typical day, these games are going to be nice and tight around the under 2.5 hours. Hopefully, in a perfect world, the Braves are kicking the crap out of Washington leading into the River Dragon hockey game, and you don't have to sweat it. By the way, once again, I want to give a big thanks. We got a huge turnout on our YouTube channel yesterday for the game. And I was noticing it during the game, but I didn't, you know, I don't get all the numbers till a few hours afterwards when it really pumps it out, and really, really good. One of our better, broadcasts. And that's even including when we did the playoffs in the World Series in 21. Okay. So, you were on the clock, sir. Oh, did you give me a prediction yet? Are you taking UConn?
I'm taking UConn all the way. Yeah, I think it's San Diego UConn State and FAU,
or other way around.
Say again.
San Diego State or FAU?
I'm going FAU. FAU versus UConn, and UConn wins it all.
Does UConn cover the spread?
Tonight? Or tomorrow night, sorry. Yes. Yeah, I think UConn covers the spread. I don't think it's nearly as ugly as a blowout, but I think they cover.
I think it's going to be a blowout. This reminds me of like an Alabama football team that you just can't stop. They are just... I kept trying to poke holes in them the entire time that they were making their run. I'd watch it, and I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know, man. Swish, 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 swish. And the playing defense, grabbing the boards. The big thing is this team grabs the boards.
Yeah.
And I watched probably a handful of their games in the regular season, but really didn't catch a lot of them towards the end. But I heard a lot of prognosticators saying that they thought UConn could make a run to the national championship. And I kind of scoffed at it because the two shows I'm watching that saying that, they're both coming out of Bristol, Connecticut. And I'm like, well, of course you're going to say that, right? It's the same reason why I don't listen to a Feinbaum when he's telling me that Alabama football is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, well, your studio is like basically underneath this, the statue of Bear Bryant. Of course you're going to say that. But it was, I've got UConn rolling Saturday night and rolling Monday night. My one caveat, the one team that I think that can take him down is San Diego State.
Yeah, all right, that's fair.
But they got to play an incredibly perfect game to beat UConn. And to get there, they got to play a really good game against Miami. FAU.
Yeah.
Can you do that twice in 2 days? I don't know.
Harder sell than UConn win it all, that's for sure.
What's that?
That's a harder sell than UConn winning it all, that's for sure.
I know I would much rather see FAU or San Diego State win. I'm pulling for that side of the bracket.
Yeah.
But I think impending doom is coming. I think UConn's going to cut down the nets. Which I don't think, it's probably good for college basketball because it is almost a blue blood. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they keep doing this, you're not going to be able to call them not a blue blood.
Yeah.
So, all right. You've got the number one pick in the NFL draft, and you're the Carolina Panthers, and we're starting our mock draft, our slow mock draft. This will take us all the way to draft day. So we're not rattling a bunch of them off. We're taking it, taking our time little by little. We'll continue to talk other sports, but we've done this every year. And we're starting it a little early so that we can take a little more time doing this because with all the different guys that come in, it gets a little confusing for everybody. So I like to give them just one pick, maybe two picks per show so they don't have a lot to study for. All right. You're the Panthers, Bobby. And you have the first pick, and you've traded your entire franchise.
Yeah.
To get that number one pick. So everybody knows you're going quarterback. There's no way you're not. Where are you going with the first overall pick?
I'm going with what?
And why?
Going with Anthony. I'm just kidding. I'm not going with Anthony Richardson. Give me Bryce Young. Give me Bryce Young. Best quarterback in the draft in my mind. I know height is a concern, but he's been doing it all this time being 5'10". I'm not as worried about it as some other people are. Maybe it's because my quarterback's also short. But I truly think Bryce Young's QB1, so I think it's a clear-cut pick for the Panthers.
So you just do not believe that there's any way that they go that route?
With Richardson?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think it happens. I know he has a crazy ceiling. I know he can be a great player. But I think they go with the safer option. Am I going with what I would do if I'm the Panthers?
I mean, it's a mock draft.
What I think is going to happen, I think they take Stroud, truthfully.
Well, then that's what you – it's a mock
okay, draft. I thought you were saying what I would do if I'm the Panthers.
No.
That's what I thought you said. You said if you're the Panthers, yeah, or something like that.
Well, you're playing the role of the Panthers.
Okay, all right. Then if I'm – what I think is going to happen, I got Stroud going one.
All right. So back the truck up. You're going to take C.J. Stroud now.
Yes, I would take Bryce Young if I'm a team, but I think they go with Stroud.
I don't think we're in a real big concern of that happening anytime soon. So,
hey, man, maybe one day. Don't count it out.
Off of what you think is going to happen. It's just like when we make the bets. We give the
okay. Bread. I thought you're doing it as like we are the GM and we're calling.
You don't say, hey, take FAU because we want them to win. We say take FAU because they're going to win because I'm giving you advice.
Well, here, okay, then let me clarify it. CJ Stroud, I think he's going number one overall. And a big part of that is what Josh McCown said to him at the pro day. How he said, whenever you're in Charlotte, we can play horse or something like that. So I think that was pretty telling. Frank Reich, he loves his taller quarterbacks. He's historically had taller quarterbacks, and Bryce Young doesn't fit that mold. So I think Stroud's going to be the pick.
All right. So pick two, team two, the Houston Texans. You realistically didn't affect my pick. Mm-mm. I really think he's going number one, but I'll go ahead and take him number two. Anthony Richardson of the Florida Gators comes off the board no later than two.
Wow.
And the reason why I say that is if you read the tea leaves and all the scouts, they have been just in love with what he's done. He had the pro day yesterday. It was off the charts. And I don't think Houston's going to pass up. They're going to be convinced that they can teach him the game.
Okay.
Who's more quarterback ready in the NFL right now? It's probably Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. But they believe they could. And I think the biggest fear of any GM in the National Football League today is that I pass up on the next guy, like the next generational guy.
Yeah.
All right. You got pick number three of the NFL draft.
Where you and this going? Doesn't factor in trades, I imagine, right? We're not doing that.
No, it's too confusing when we're not doing it all in one sitting.
That's fair.
Here and it turned into a disaster.
Yeah. Assuming the Cardinals stay at three, I think we take Will Anderson. Sorry. I think he's the best defensive player in the draft. I do like Jalen Carter, but I still have my concerns on him. And edge is a big need for the Cardinals. That's who I think they're going to go with.
Anderson?
Will Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's generational talent. Mm-hmm. And they obviously can't take a quarterback at this point. Boy, would that shake the world, the NFL world. They go, Bryce Young's there. We're going to have to draft him.
Now, I think if Bryce or if Richardson falls to three, which I think one of them will, then I could see a team sending a bunch of picks to move up. But if assuming the Cardinals stay at three, I think they go Will Anderson.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that we can.
Nah, that'd throw things off too much.
All those predictions when they do that, that's more for someone writing a goofy article
than, yeah,
you know, just doing it himself, right?
Mm-hmm. However, I do want to make note of currently the highest projected odds to go third overall right now is Anthony Richardson. So it tells you where Vegas thinks the Cardinals are going. They think they're going to trade out, essentially.
Yeah, I would kind of suspect that they might.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anyone in mind per se, but there's probably three or four teams that would really think about. But I think Houston's going to grab him. I really believe it's going to be Carolina, but mm-hmm. Houston could grab him. What's your walk off, real quick? We got to hit the top of the hour.
All right, my walk off is everyone enjoy the Final Four, enjoy your weekend, relax, enjoy some good basketball. And Monday we get the NCAA championship. It should be fun.
All right, brother. We'll see you next week for the normal slots. Because coming up next, it's WrestleMania. Look out. Bobby is gone, which means Joey and Tones are on the way. Keep it locked in here on the key. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Your Atlanta Braves are off today after the season opener in Washington. They're back at it tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern. We'll have the call right here on Braves Country HD. With a lot of the league taking post-opening day off, there are five games on the docket today. Mets at the Marlins at 6:40 in Miami. Shy Sox at the Stros at 8:10. In the late games, 9:40, Rockies at Padres, 10:10 Eastern on ESPN+, Diamondbacks at the Dodgers, while the Guardians are back at the Mariners. Friday night in the Association, coming off a back-to-back, the Celtics are at home against the Jazz. While at 8 Eastern, the Clippers are at the Grizzlies. And on NBA TV at 8 o'clock, Lakers at Timberwolves. Second part of that NBA TV doubleheader, 10:30 Eastern, Nuggets at the Suns. The Knicks are at the Cavs at 7:30. Your hometown Hawks are at the Nets. And the Sacramento Kings are at the Trailblazers at 10. Over on the ice, we have just four games. At 7 o'clock, you got Rangers at Sabres on the net. While on the plus, Red Wings at Jets at 8. At 10, the Flames are in Vancouver to face the Canucks. And at 10:30, it's the Stars at the Coyotes in Tempe. Anthony Richardson completed the last of 45 passes, raised his right index finger, started jogging towards midfield, got near the Florida logo, and delivered a round-off backflip that was as perfect as any throw he made on Florida's Pro Day. Richardson put on another show for NFL coaches, GMs, and scouts. This one was a follow-up to his record-setting performance at the Combine earlier this month. The 6'4", 244-pound quarterback from Gainesville skipped all the measurement drills on campus. There was little chance he would have improved on his gaudy numbers from Indianapolis. He showed off his arm strength on multiple occasions, overthrowing one receiver who was 70 yards away and launching a deep ball that hit the ceiling. From Richardson, quote, "I feel like I delivered the ball pretty well today. Some of them were as great as I wanted to be, some were not. But I feel like I threw the ball pretty well today." Carolina's Frank Reich, Seattle's Pete Carroll, and Jacksonville's Doug Peterson were three NFL coaches in attendance. The Panthers Seahawks sent a large amount of contingents, as they also did pro days involving three other highly rated quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis. Richardson added, "I'm a workhorse. I'm going to work to be the greatest. I'm going to continue to work. A lot of people would say I have a lot of things to clean up, so I'm definitely going to try to clean those things up." Former Olympic and Paralympic runner Oscar Pistorius was denied parole Friday and will have to stay in prison at least another 16 months after it was decided that he had not served the minimum detention period required to be released after his murder conviction, the 2013 killing of girlfriend Reba Steenkamp. Parole board hearing application ruled that he would be able to apply again in August of 2024. On February 14th, 2013, Pistorius shot and killed Steenkamp, a model and law student, in his bathroom. He had told the court he believed Steenkamp was an intruder when he shot her several times. And one of the biggest storylines heading into next week's Masters at Augusta's National Golf Club is whether any of the 18 players from the LIV Golf League participating in the tournament will compete for a green jacket. Because the LIV Golf League will stage just 14 tournaments in its second season and only 54 holes in each event, some wonder whether its members have played enough golf to get them ready for the first major championship of the season. This week's event is in Orlando, Florida. It is the third of the year. Australia's Cam Smith, the reigning Open Championship winner, who jumped to LIV Golf after the Tour Championship last season, said doubts about his readiness will motivate him to play well. Quote, "Obviously, first and foremost for me, I'm trying to go there and play the best I can. I think it's important for us to go there, really show a high standard of golf, which we know we are all capable of." The Masters Championship begins Thursday, April 6th in Augusta, Georgia. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country. Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 first pitch, it's the Atlanta Braves at the Washington Nationals. Spencer Strider versus Josiah Gray. We'll have it all here, pitch by pitch, inning by inning, play by play, here on Braves Country. That's Spencer Strider Day, Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 Eastern, right here on Braves Country.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Are you listening? Are y'all ready? Snap into a Slim Jim back. Let's go.
Woohoo! Wrestling Friday.
Oh yeah.
Macho Man style. I love that hair.
Oh yeah.
All I care about is that the people are being entertained. It's all about the world champion. It's about to get exciting, people. Are y'all ready for this?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be, brother. Ready to get after it. I can't wait.
All right. We'll go ahead. I'm giving y'all basically the show. I'll chime in every once in a while, but I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So WrestleMania 39, man, I'm a little surprised. I thought it'd be in the hundreds by now. Do they only do it once a year?
Correct. Yeah, they only do WrestleMania once a year. Now they'll have pay-per-views once a month. But the big one, this is like Super Bowl week. You know, we've had our lead up to it from the Royal Rumble all the way to now. This is the first weekend in April always, to answer your question from earlier. It's always the first weekend in April, and the past few years have been a two-day event. So I know tomorrow has the Final Four, but Sunday will be completely free for the main event.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. I just think it'd be better for both sports if they weren't intersecting on each other. But I guess there's
it used to not, because WrestleMania used to only be one day, and then they expanded it to two. Now it's pretty much three, given what you got tonight, Hall of Fame induction and whatnot. But wrestling used to stay out of NCAA's business, and they expanded it an extra night, and now they overlap.
All right, so where do y'all want to go first?
Let's go with cool matchups.
All right. So y'all are just going to give your cool matchup, cool matches, or are you ranking them?
We were just going to do typical cool games. I'll give cool one. I'll give a cool one, then Joey gives a cool one. We each give two cool ones, and then okay.
Sounds good.
Since we're going to be predicting the matches later on and so forth, you know, we'll stay away from predicting the cool games just to not overlap and give too much info on one certain match or whatnot.
All right.
He kind of sounded like Stephen A. Smith there, because Stephen A. Smith is going to be there this weekend. He said he's going to show up on Wrestle 30 and Mania 9 stage. So there's going to be a lot of surprises and cool stuff. So, hey, let's start it off with some cool matchups.
Stephen A. Smith's going to be on it.
I don't know why.
That's why ESPN is. Man, I've seen more ESPN articles about WrestleMania this week than I've ever seen in my life combined. And I was a little confused, because I was like, well, ABC, Disney, they're not carrying it. So what are they doing? Like, what's the end game? I didn't know Stephen A. Smith was going to be there.
And the company is for sale. Disney is rumored to be one of the companies interested in purchasing him. So you never know if there's.
That's what. Okay. Then I'd almost bet that they're going to buy it.
Yeah. There might be a layer under that cake there. You never know. So maybe they're hyping him up to potentially be a buyer for him.
All right. Well, give us your first cool match. Who's going first?
I'll take it, and I'll go right now because I know my brother won't go here, but I'm definitely going here. It's the matchup of father versus son, not just on TV, but in actual life. We're going to have Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio. And listen, Rey Mysterio tonight, if you haven't, you know, for those who don't follow or don't watch all the time, he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame on Fox. It's right after SmackDown, which goes 8 Eastern to 10, and then they'll do the Hall of Fame, which Rey Mysterio will get in. But this weekend, he fights his son. He's been trying to avoid it the whole time, but his son keeps messing with him, keeps messing with the family. Rey Mysterio says, I've had enough. The Hall of Famer is going up against his son, which I think is one of the coolest storylines of the weekend. Because just like in sports, you got, you know, LeBron trying to wait for his kid to get in. Other sports now where you see maybe more athletes can play together. For the first time ever, we're getting father versus son in the WWE. And then Rey versus Dom, to me, that's one of the best.
Yeah, you don't get it in a whole lot of sports for obvious reasons, because you can't play like, you know, your traditional sports to all ages. I guess NASCAR would be the obvious. And then baseball's had it a few times, but it's really rare. I feel like it's gonna it's more likely to happen as we get older with baseball, but has not the one that everybody goes to is Griffey playing with Griffey.
Right.
All right. Well, Tones, where are you going?
I'm going a little different direction here. You know, Dominic and Rey are nice, but we've seen a couple parent-daughter matchups. We've seen Vince versus Stephanie. We've seen Ric Flair versus Kid Flair. So I'm going to take my directions elsewhere, and I'm going to go with the tag team champion Usos on night one of WrestleMania squaring up against old friends Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has been one of the hottest wrestlers on planet Earth for the past couple of months. He's won some big matches. He's went toe-to-toe with the big man Roman Reigns. After being in his stable, he finds himself on the outside battling two guys that he once called his brothers, the Usos. So I'm going with Kevin Owens and his buddy Sami Zayn. These guys have a long history as well. They came into the world of wrestling together outside the promotion of WWE, came over to WWE together, wrestled in their independent league together, in their minor league together, made their way to the main roster together, have had love-hate relationships, they've had rivalries, they've had best friendships. It's been crazy storylines. Now at WrestleMania, they get the chance to put on a show together as they battle the Usos for the tag team titles in the main event tomorrow, and they have their t-shirt as well. It's a KO Sami Zayn WrestleMania t-shirt. This is one of the hottest rumored matches on the card right now, perhaps.
I am not laughing at you. My dog is famously known for, we have two dogs, the older one, she doesn't like anything different, essentially. She's very... She just caught a glimpse of me in the hat and the glasses. And she's growling at me from afar.
Does she want to wrestle you?
So if you start hearing some loud barking, that's what's going on. Because when I came out of the room earlier, I was making sure that the hat fit. I got the big. I quickly took it off, and so I'm in the studio now. She typically can't see me, but I can hear her growling, and her eyes popped up just as Tones was talking. Her eyes popped up over the couch and was staring at me. So it might be go time.
She wanted a Slim Jim
or a wrestling match.
All right, where are you going? Number two.
It's a little bit biased, but who doesn't know John Cena? He's fighting his first big-time match on the WrestleMania card in quite a few years for the United States Championship belt. He has not fought for a title on the main card in quite a long time. We all know what John Cena does for the children and kids outside of the ring, but now he's stepping back in it, and which could be one of his final times. He's going to be fighting a new up-and-coming guy who's kind of built like himself, seems to, you know, they kind of have a little similar of an upbringing. So you get one of those old school versus new school battles. And John Cena, unfortunately for me and all the kids that love him, is not getting any younger. He does a lot of movies out there at 45 years old. He kind of took the similar path as to The Rock, who's not around much anymore either. But I'm going to go as my second cool matchup, Hall of Famer, well, to be Hall of Famer one day, John Cena fighting for the United States title against Mr. Austin Theory, young up-and-comer. Go John Cena, baby, because you can't see what you can't hit, okay? You can't see me, John Cena.
I will be pulling for whoever the other guy is, and I hope he kicks the crap out of Cena. You'll have to let me know who wins that.
I will.
I hate John Cena.
Oh, man.
Ever since I saw him tongue bathe China when they threatened to take his movie out of China for referring to Taiwan as a country, and he went and tongue bathed him, I was like, I'm out. I can't even, when he see him in a commercial, I changed the channel. I can't reach the remote fast enough.
Well, it's not.
I never had an opinion on him before, to be perfectly honest with you. I was like, okay, he's just a bad actor, but you know, he's making a lot of money. I get it. But now I'm like, you're just slime. All right, where are you going, Tones?
For the ladies out there, and for the fans of lady wrestling, I'm going to a championship match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm going Charlotte Flair, who's an incumbent champion, versus Rhea Ripley, one of the up-and-comers, versus one of the most bona fide women champion we have seen in WWE history, if not the most bona fide. Charlotte Flair is on record-setting pace for any wrestler at this point, male and female, to hoist the championship crown one day. Rhea Ripley, up-and-comer in a stable with Dominic Mysterio, amongst others. They're more of the young group that's on the rise, while Charlotte, the daughter of Ric Flair as well, is the stable champion. And I'm keeping Charlotte Flair as champ here in this cool matchup. I just think that a lot of people are loving the Flair. Charlotte Flair is a big draw. This one's a cool matchup, though, because 2 years ago at WrestleMania, these two actually fought. So it's been a long time coming to get a WrestleMania rematch. It's been one of those storylines that kind of die out a little bit, then kind of pick up steam a little bit. Well, the past couple of months, it's picked up a heavy, heavy, heavy amount of steam, and I can't wait until these two women go at it for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. You got the incumbent champion, daughter of the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo! Charlotte Flair taking on the up-and-coming Rhea Ripley.
I thought they'd be going head-to-head with, against each other. I was about to say, I know one thing, I got a better chance of watching WrestleMania than I do the Women's College National Championship Sunday, but again, this is how you know that has no buzz. It's being played at 3:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon on the first Saturday in April. Oh, Sunday. Dude, who's even going to be in front of a TV at that time? Jeez, what are
they? You know, a lot of people will be on the golf course, not in front of a television.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be doing anything. I'm assuming the WrestleMania is like around 7:30, 8 o'clock, right?
Correct. I think it starts 7 Eastern on each night. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. One thing I will always give to wrestling, all leagues, is that they know how to market it. They're not dumb. They're not going to go out there and put it in the middle of the Sunday afternoon. But that just tells you right there that they couldn't get. I bet they were trying to push to be on ESPN, and ESPN said, "What are you on, horse? It's the first weekend of Major League Baseball. We're going to put that on." So they they said, "We'll give you ABC." Really? Sunday night? No, Sunday night we're going to play the replay of Heidi, but Sunday afternoon we'll put you on.
Yeah, why not? It's the Romano Sunday when no one's going to watch.
Oh, yeah, Phillies Rangers Sunday night baseball. No chance on God's green earth that anyone would watch the basketball.
Correct.
Correct. All right, so we got the four. Did y'all see the question from Ken? He says, where's it at again?
I tried to answer him in the chat. He asked who won both their first cool game matches. I got Dominic Mysterio over Father Rey Mysterio in that one, and then I got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beating the Usos to become the new tag team champ.
Yeah, and I'll agree on the one. I'll agree that KO and Sami Zayn, I think they'll win that matchup. They deserve it. But I'm going to give the other one to Rey Mysterio. I think it's his weekend and complete with the Hall of Fame being tonight, his son being a thorn in his side. Why not complete the weekend? And one of his last matches ever, probably in WrestleMania, I'm going Rey Mysterio.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, Y'all gonna have to tell me what we're doing next. I don't know.
We're gonna give you surprises of the show, and we'll also break down a couple other things. But surprises for this WrestleMania, we'll have a couple each. We're ready to go.
And Hall of Fame, we're gonna pick one Hall of Famer each to go over as well.
So fair enough. It's a little past 4:20. Smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 first pitch. It's the Atlanta Braves at the Washington Nationals. Spencer Strider versus Josiah Gray. We'll have it all here, pitch by pitch, inning by inning, play by play, here on Braves Country. At Spencer Strider Day, Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 Eastern, right here on Braves Country.
If you're making sandwiches, always leave the knife hanging over the sink in case you want one later. Be a man.
I'm 7-0 this season.
You auto-drafted.
That's what all the great GMs do. They delegate.
You didn't do anything.
Yeah, I did. I set the cue.
Without fantasy football, what would friends talk about?
I almost wore shorts today.
Oh.
It's going to do a sweatshirt shorts combo. Switched to pants instead.
Armchair.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE, The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Make contact. A collective psychosis is sweeping the nation. We're in the thick of the haze craze, and a lesion is introducing an altered state of IPA. Contact Haze is a tangled chemistry of mild haze, low bitterness, and an explosion of hop aroma. This hazy IPA bursts with notes of bright raspberry, currant, citrus, guava, and passion fruit. Available in six-pack cans in stores. Make contact.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time on WQEE.
Can you keep a secret?
Of course I can.
I lost all our money today betting on sports.
Damn.
I know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure, yeah.
I lied. I can't keep secrets.
Wait, what?
Armchair.
Welcome back! WWE Day, by God!
By God!
What are you going to do when these pythons get a hold of you, brother?
You jabroni.
We're running wild over here on the Armchair Quarterbacks.
What was the one that I... There was one... Oh, man. Man, there was a good one. I lost it. I was looking up quotes from Macho Man. Mainly because I know him because... Snap into a Slim Jim.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Forgot to do it, but check it out. I even changed my avatar. How do I here we go. Ah, what do you got with that? You know who that is?
Oh my
Damn. Lord.
Do you know who that is?
I do Damn. Not.
That is the great Ron Simmons.
Yep, Ron Simmons, damn.
Oh, that was him? And that, yeah, the damn. That's why I did that. He always used to go, damn, on live TV.
Okay, well, I didn't know his catchphrase. I know Ron Simmons from his football days. He played nose tackle at Florida State in the late 70s and early 80s. He was one of Bobby Bowden's first big recruits. Like, and I don't mean because, you know, he's a big guy. I'm talking really? About the first, like, big-time recruits that decided to go to Florida State over a couple other schools. It was a big deal that Bowden got Simmons to come there.
Mm-hmm.
That was only 10 years before Deion Sanders.
And he was a physical specimen. He was a beast in wrestling. I can only imagine his football days. He looked like he can wreak havoc out there.
Yeah, he was an absolute beast. Back when nose tackles were much more athletic, and it's actually starting to revert back to that now. But you know, there for a while, nose tackles were, you know, one M&M away from, damn, man, I'm about to have a heart attack. But yeah, that's. I grew up watching him, and I remember years later, my dad bringing it up whenever he was in his heyday, doing the wrestling. I'm assuming he was with WWE, but I don't know that. And my dad brought it up when he goes, "You remember Ron Simmons?" I was like, "Yeah, I remember Ron Simmons. He was like my first favorite. He was the first college football player that I would consider like an idol, right? Like he was my favorite player at the time. And I barely remember him playing, but I knew who he was as a kid. So I watched a little bit. Greg Allen was probably my first like actual favorite college football player, but." Him and Herschel Walker, but
Ron Simmons was in the Rise. So there was WWF and WCW. He was in WCW, which later was bought by WWE. So it all merged into one. But yes, as the Q said, he was the first ever African American WCW champion. And then since they merged with WWE, he became the first ever quote unquote WWE African American champion as well.
And I don't know if he has any ties to it. But I was a fan of the Junkyard Dog because they would say Junkyard Dog. It would make me think of college football because of that was the nickname of the Georgia Bulldog defense in the 80s. So I wasn't necessarily a Georgia Bulldog fan, but because I knew that reference, Junkyard Dog, I was like, wait a minute, I like this guy. That's all I knew. Because, man, you would get on the bus when I was a kid in the 80s going to school. And if you did not watch the wrestling that took place on Saturday morning, you were out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, I like to talk. So I would watch Saturday mornings just to find out what was going on. But it lasted, I don't know, maybe a year or so. And then once we quit riding buses, I'm like, well, I guess I don't have to watch that anymore. I moved to where I could walk to school, and walking to school, I was walking with he's not on the show much anymore, but the fireman, and he's going to be on our new podcast that we're doing, the old man podcast. But we would walk to school and we would talk sports, and he didn't care nothing about wrestling. So we drifted into nothing but baseball, football, basketball kind of stuff. But had he been into wrestling, who knows, man, I might be right there with y'all.
Come on over. There's always room, brother.
And I was like, take 40 years off and come back. Yeah. Okay. If I do, I'm going to watch it with you and spend the entire night. Well, who's that? Why is he mad at him? And who is she? And what's her to him? I would be the sports fan that I hate.
What belt is that?
I would be the sports fan I hate. They wait till the game kicks off. So what is holding?
Or that guy in the movies who's like, who do you think this is? It's like, let the movie play out. I'm watching it with you as well.
Why do they call it designated hitter? What does that mean? Really? You're going to wait till game 4 of the World Series to ask me that?
Bottom of the 7th, game's tied, 2 yeah. outs.
It means shut up. That's what it means. Okay, where are we going? Hall of Fame?
And we're standing in the Hall of Fame.
All right, now one day we're going to have to do what we do on the normal show. We're gonna launch people out of the Hall of Fame. But today we'll just talk about
that's always fun, launching people out, let me tell you.
So, some of these guys ever get wins.
Yeah.
Got some
problems. There's a couple.
So if I pick a WWE guy or whatever to launch out of the Hall of Fame, I want to make sure he's either really old or really dead.
Dang it. All right. I know Ron Simmons, you ain't going to launch out, the 2012 Hall of Fame inductee himself.
Is he still with us?
Yes, he is at age 64. Yeah,
he's still with us. He actually was on a Raw briefly in January. It was just a segment where they literally hired him to say, damn.
As he'll come back poker. For all the anniversaries, whether it's 25 years, 30 years. He'll come back for some behind the scenes.
Well, that's good. I was afraid to bring it up because I didn't know. Oh, he was from Perry, Georgia. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Like Joey alluded to, they bring him back every couple of years just to literally say the word damn into the camera and pretty much fade away awesome. After that. And he probably makes good money from it, I'm guessing, as well. So,
and you know something else that he did that there's probably a lot of folks don't remember? You know who he played for?
The Browns?
The Tampa Bay Bandits.
Mm.
In the USFL. The
defunct. Didn't he play for the Browns a little bit as well?
He played for the he was brought on to the Browns, but I don't think he either made practice squad or he never. Anyways, it was like a year, and then I don't even think he made it the full year. He ended up in the CFL, and then I remember him on the Bandits because what the USFL was doing then, which I thought was a great idea at the time, when they had their draft. Jacksonville didn't have a team yet. It was Tampa Bay was the only Florida team. Mm-hmm. And they got to pick players from their region first. So, in other words, they got dibs on guys that went to Florida State, Georgia, Florida, all that kind of stuff. Mm. If you were in, like, for instance, the Philadelphia Stars would have first dibs on Penn State. And I'm telling you right now, like – these upstart leagues, someone needs to take on that rule. It's a really smart rule because it makes the college football fan care about your product.
Correct.
Because I'm not going to pay attention if a Florida State guy, a Georgia guy, whatever, goes all the way over to Los Angeles. But if it's a team I can see in the area, then all of a sudden you might have my interest. All right. Hall of Fame. Where are we going?
I think Joey will take. All right.
Yeah, I'll go with the first one, and it's going to be the same as my first cool matchup. I'm going to keep a consistent theme here. As I said, Rey Mysterio's going in tonight. This is the first little man you talk about in all sports, like in basketball, when we had Spud Webb back in the day, led to Nate Robinson, the little guy, Steph Curry coming in. Rey Mysterio is truly the first small guy to come into the WWE and make a huge difference and win championships. And he's still doing it today. He started his wrestling career in 1989. Yes, that is not a mistake. 1989, he started as a lucha libre under his dad. He then joined the WWE circuits in roughly 2002 and has had great storylines throughout his career. He's won championships. He's lasted the second longest ever in a Royal Rumble, over an hour in a match, which is not done by many people themselves. His kid, Dominic Mysterio, like I said, is now in this business. His daughter's done a little acting along throughout the way. The late, great Eddie Guerrero, he goes way back to, rest in peace, Eddie Guerrero. But he has so many ties. He's brought in so many people and is the first, I consider, small man to do great things in the WWE/WWF. It was this man, and he's going in tonight, and no more deserving character. He has the famous mask. For people that don't know him too well. So I'm going with Mr. Rey Mysterio as my Hall of Fame inductee number one.
All right.
I'm going with Tim White. And Tim White is the first ever referee to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. But he was more than a referee. For those unfamiliar with Tim White, his original role in wrestling was to be the manager of Andre the Giant, one of the best ever to do it. And by the way, Tim White has passed away within the past year. Prayers and thoughts go out to him. Wish he was alive for his honorary ceremony, but at least his family will be there to help him be achieved as he should be. But anyways, Tim White, Andre the Giant's manager, part-time referee at first. Once Andre the Giant passed away, he became a full-time referee as well. So also another thing with Tim White is that's a great picture right there, you know, very good.
Well, but, another 23 Hall of Fame class, I can't figure out why we're not talking about someone.
Stacy Keibler.
I was about to go with Stacy Keibler as well.
I hope she's
a beautiful thing, but Tim White, he was just a legend, and I think he's missed. He was the referee of that historic Mankind and Undertaker match at King of the Ring, the Hell in a Cell match where Mankind was throwing off the top of the cell. He was in the premiere storyline telling of the Lunchtime Suicide with Josh Matthews, they called it. And then later on, he, drank rat poison. Just a crazy storyline. Nonetheless, Tim White, you'll be missed for your time with Andre the Giant, your 24 years of refereeing, your lunchtime suicide storyline, and so much more. We wish you were here to get honored as you deserve, but your family will do a great job. Tim White, we miss you, brother.
And as you see on the screen right now, Miss Stacy Keebler, if we're going to bring up any Hall of Famer, it has her. She's the only woman going into the Hall of Fame. And if this is like that tonight, I will not be mad. Then again, for people who don't know, on Fox after SmackDown, which is from 8 Eastern to 10, you'll have the Hall of Fame come on right after live on Fox, and they'll put these 5 to 6 people in. Stacy Keebler at 43 years old is the only woman going in this time, but she's very, very well deserved. She had a big role as Mr. McMahon's assistant earlier in her career, which who knows where that went with Vince McMahon's troubles these days. Who knows? But, no, all jokes aside, she was one of the best divas to do it and also one of the most beautiful divas to do it. Tones, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I think as, you know, when we were kids and we'd see a lady like Stacy of her caliber not only performing in the ring but the way she made her way to the ring, I think it, you know, made us all a fan of wrestling that much more. Stacy Keebler was an awesome lady in the world of wrestling. To keep the great times rolling, however, we'll talk about the next one up, the great Muta that was. And the great Muta is going to be inducted by none other than Ric Flair. How cool is that? The great Muta was more known for his time outside the WWE, but he is a one-time WCW World Tag Team Champion as well, and he had a big influence in the world of wrestling, specifically overseas, but a little bit in America too. And I think to honor how great of a wrestler he was started in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and then made his way to WCW for a little bit, then returned to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Then he went to other indie circuits. I think Triple H is tipping his cap and honoring a true wrestling guy. I mean, he helped the WCW, the WWF get a lot of overseas views, and that's why the great Muta is finding himself as one of the inductees of the 2023 Hall of Fame class, and he's getting inducted by one of the best, if not the best, to ever do it, Ric Flair. How deserving is that? Tip of the cap to the great Muta.
Coffin's going in. You ain't brought him up either. Andy Coffin.
What? Yeah.
Come on, man. This guy's a legend. Legendary actor.
Yeah, no,
I know he's before your time, but he famously called himself the intergender wrestling champion of the world because he would wrestle any woman anywhere.
Yeah, and he, as people who know Jerry the King Lawler, that he had his feuds with him as well. So he is very famous, and I'm glad you brought him up because Andy Kaufman gets forgotten sometimes, but he is literally one of the more comedic relief wrestlers we've had in the early days for, like you said, he was the greatest intergender wrestling champion in the world. Just so many good things he brought to the table.
Well, yeah, I mean, he would just show up on, I don't remember.
Late Night with David Letterman.
Well, Letterman, but there was a couple other shows that he would just show up on, and he would have been there wanting to fight women, and they're like, what are you doing? It's like I'm protecting my belt.
And we lost him way too young. But as Joey alluded to, a lot of rivalries with Jerry the King Lawler. He is getting inducted by Jerry the King Lawler as well tonight. So that's very cool there. Sentimental value for that.
All right. Let's go ahead and take that last break.
Woohoo!
We hit everybody, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it was a small but deserving class. It was a cool class.
By the way, have y'all noticed what shirt I'm wearing? I figured this is the most WrestleMania shirt that I own. Milwaukee's best light, baby. Let's go!
Milwaukee light!
Yeah, baby! Let's go! What are you going to do, brother? We'll be back in a flash.
You jabroni.
Out of beer? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
Armchair. time to live, laugh, and create memories again with MSC Cruises. Join us on some of the world's most modern and innovative ships. Discover again at our new private island, Ocean Key MSC Marine Reserve, named Best New Cruise Destination. Cruise the Caribbean and Bahamas from Miami or Port Canaveral. Book now with free balcony upgrades and flexible booking changes. Call your travel advisor or visit MSCCruises.com. Restrictions apply. MSC Cruises, a world of discovery.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at OurDragonsMerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at OurDragonsMerch.com. That's the letter R, DragonsMerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Armchair Quarterbacks on YouTube Live. We cover Braves baseball, Red Sox, Yankees, Rays, Cubs and Cardinals, and the rest of Major League Baseball every day. Your first choice for sports talk live from the First Coast.
How to improve your dining room by the Home Depot. New wood floors, new paint on the walls. Sure, you know us for that. But how about a new dining room table, matching chairs, bar stools? How about free and flexible delivery with easy online returns? Now you can explore decor in a whole new way. Save now on furniture. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Limitations apply.
This helpful.
What did you do?
Well, isn't it obvious? I spiked them with muscle relax and plus my ADHD medication.
What? You drugged us again? Look at my face. You ruined my life.
You're not my friend.
Don't say that, Phil. Are you serious even in America?
Yes.
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive Time on WQEE.
Welcome back, baby! Quick programming reminder tonight, River Dragon Hockey. And the Air Force Heating and Air pregame show starts at 7. The puck will drop at 7:30 for the River Dragons tomorrow. Air Force Heating and Air pregame, 6:30. Puck drops at 7. Tomorrow at 4:05 Eastern, first pitch on WQEE. Braves Country Baseball, Nationals Braves. It's Spencer Strider Day. So we're gonna get a look at Spencer Strider for the first time this year. And we should get a more of a clarified update on Max Fried. All right. What else do we have on the docket for the WrestleMania?
I think it's prediction time to predict some of these great matches.
Did you see the comment? I didn't see it when it happened. Let me scroll up here. I had it on the screen a second ago. Oh, no, it's so there. Do you guys remember JR quote from JR? It's called puppies. Do you have any idea what that is?
I think he's referring to a Jim Ross quote where he said something about a puppy beat down, I think, or something like that. But I don't have the full quote in the top of my head. But Jim Ross is a famous announcer who did it, I mean, as many people know, from, gosh, probably 40, 50 years now. And now he's in the other wrestling company. But famous Jim Ross quote.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's known as the most notorious broadcaster in wrestling history, probably.
I was busy deleting that picture that we had up on the screen so my wife doesn't come squirreling around. What the hell you got on your computer over here? I'm like, she would never believe that it was for the show, and she would dang sure never believe it was for a wrestling show.
Who would have ever thought on a wrestling talk?
I want a divorce.
Yeah. You jabroni eating, pie eating, sick son of a.
What?
Oh, now you're going to try to tell me that there's something, that you're doing a wrestling show, and that's why you got some chick in a bikini on your screen. Okay.
You haven't watched wrestling in 40 years.
One beer, what?
Like, gosh darn it. All right. Predictions. Where are we going?
Let's go to a match, Tones, that we haven't talked about yet. A lot of people know the Paul brothers, whether you love them or you hate them, there's really no in between. Jake Paul really sticks to the boxing for the most part. Brother Logan Paul is a sensational talent in the ring. Not a lot of WWE fans like him because he's an outsider. He's a cocky YouTube guy who came out of the scene. But he'll be going up against one of the best in the business. I would say the number two star, Seth Rollins, who's actually has a lot of Chicago and Iowa ties. So know him pretty well here from the Midwest. It will be a big one. I'm going with Seth Rollins over Logan Paul, the YouTuber. Tones, how about you?
Yeah, that's a heck of a match there. When I'm looking at these matches that spark my interest, I'm looking at Trish Stratus, one of the WWE Hall of Famers, Lita, a WWE Hall of Famer, and Becky Lynch, one of the better women in wrestling today. She brought up the man saying, and a lot of people view her as the top women's wrestler in the world right now. But she faces off against Damage Control, which consists of Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. They're an up-and-coming women's group led by Bayley, who's also one of the four horsewomen, along with Becky Lynch. Those are the first four women. Well, not the first four, but four of the first women to help promote the women's division from the Divas division to the women's division. It was Becky Lynch, it was Bayley, it was Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair. So this match is pretty historic, given that you have Trish Stratus and Lita. Becky Lynch joins teams with them. Becky Lynch, one of the bigger names in wrestling today. Trish and Lita, two of the most legendary, iconic woman wrestlers when me and Joey were doing our upbringing, taking on one of the best stables, well, one of the probably the best woman's stable in wrestling right now, no matter if it's AEW, New Japan, Pro Wrestling, or whatnot, Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. I'm going to have to give Damage Control the win here. As much as I love Trish, Lita, they're legends, and Becky Lynch, as great as she is, I think there's some fishiness going on behind the scenes there. I think Damage Control sticks around a little bit longer. They get a big-time win here to help them keep building up. Trish isn't going to be around for long. Lita, I don't think, will be around for long, although she's champion as well. That's why I see Damage Control taking this one. I see Becky Lynch and Lita maybe falling off the rails a little bit. Who knows what happens here, but another great match right behind the Seth Rollins and Logan Paul match. Joey, what other match is up your sleeve?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not talk about Hell in a Cell. On Sunday, they will have the cage brought down, you know, similar to obviously UFC, how they fight in the cage. You'll see Undertaker. If you go back in history, Undertaker has fought in many Hell in a Cell matches. This time we get Hall of Famer Edge. He came back from his neck surgery. People thought he would never wrestle again a few years ago. Well, now Edge is back, and he is fighting Finn Balor in what will be an epic match with a lot of blood and guts. If you want to see some people beat the heck out of each other and real damage done, you're going to watch this Hell in a Cell between Edge and Finn Balor. This is going to be an extreme match. No rules, nothing else given. To me, it's a must-see, Edge versus Finn Balor, because Finn Balor, he's no young sprung chicken. He's a veteran himself. He's not going to back down easy. And he's also going to be doing his double persona where he comes out as the demon. So it's going to be a wild match between these two on Sunday inside the cage. I cannot wait for it. Tones, what do you got?
A lot of people gravitate to wrestling for other stars, and we've seen that with the Hall of Fame, with the former actor comedian going in there, or stars from other sports. We got one of the better UFC fighters in our upbringing, Brock Lesnar, former UFC champion, former player for the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of people love him for all his talent. Taking on Omos, one of the biggest Berthas in WWE today, over 7 feet tall, played college basketball. This is a battle of gargantuan behemoths with Lesnar and Omos stepping into the ring at the same time. It's a singles match. If you're a heavyweight guy, this is a match for you. If you're not a heavyweight guy, it might not be. But I'll tell you what, you're going to get a lot of finishers. You're going to get Brock Lesnar with a lot of F5s to Omos, perhaps through tables even. They're trying to build Omos's character. However, I don't think it's to disdain the credibility that Brock Lesnar has footprinted in the WWE for his tenure. Omos will be joined by MVP as well, Monte Vontel Porter. So be on the lookout for MVP to pull some shenanigans in this matchup. However, even though Omos has a manager who's MVP, I'm sticking with Brock Lesnar. Anytime a former UFC champion gets in the ring in the WWE, although a different story, I think there's a little bit of star power behind it, a little bit of stamina behind them. Give me Brock Lesnar over the Giant Omos, who's with MVP as a manager in a battle of the behemoths. I think this one will be a short match, but I think it will be a very good one.
So, non-wrestling breaking news, if I may. The Pirates and Brian Reynolds have just agreed to an 8-year, $106 million deal.
Wow, and they've been working at that for, what, a couple of years now?
It begins next year. So that's I guess it's a 7-100 beginning next year, but in all, it's 8 years, 106. So,
and old buddy Gary Sanchez just signed with the Giants. He's not relevant anymore like Reynolds is, but one time top-rated rookie catcher.
Reynolds wants an opt-out after 26. So
smart man.
It says it's the current sticking point. So it says they agreed to it or had agreed to it. I guess it's not official. I guess they're in the middle of negotiating, but that sounds like what the number is going to be. They'll eventually figure out the opt out.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates will probably say we want one more year if we're going to give you an opt out. So we'll see what happens, but interesting stuff. The other thing I did want to update folks on, Max Fried, because since this is Braves country, they're saying that the hamstring strain, most likely he's going to end up on the IL, which means he'll miss two starts. The issue is he would not be able to technically come off the IL till April 10th. He would miss the start of April 10th. Kyle Wright is not able to start a game because he's on the IL until April 11th. So there's a day there where they're kind of screwed.
Mm.
What it looks like is that Bryce Elder is going to get the nod because he pitches tonight in Gwinnett. And Charlie Culberson, everyone's old favorite player that played for the Braves a few years back, Charlie Culberson has been signed by the AAA Gwinnett Stripers. He is on the starting roster. Their season begins today.
Wow, a lot of news there. Hopefully Max Fried gets well. I have him on fantasy, so nothing but the best of hopes to him for the Braves' sake and for my fantasy team's sake.
Yeah, I think it's one of those minor things that they're going to be extremely cautious and they don't want to push it because next thing you know, he's on the IL for a hot minute. All right, I didn't mean to cut you all off on the rest. I just wanted to get that in before the end of the show. What else do we got?
Hey, we can't go without talking about the main event as we get to the top of the hour close here. The undisputed WWE Heavyweight Universal Championship is on the line. The Rock's nephew, Roman Reigns, has been running this industry for years. He has been the champion for almost 950 days. That is not an error when I say that, ladies and gentlemen. He has been the undisputed champ for over 900 days now, coming up on 950. He's going up against Cody Rhodes, who just came back. He has helped out WWE. He went to AEW. Now he's back. And he is the fan favorite of this company. He is the face of the place. And it's going to be the behemoth. I think it's important we both predict this one because truly it's split down the middle. We don't know what's going to happen in this legendary battle. Roman Reigns has not taken a pinfall in this entire reign. Not even close. I love Cody Rhodes. He's my favorite wrestler right now. But if I had to bet with my heart and not – if I had to bet with my mind and not my heart, I'm going with Roman Reigns. I think they're going to let him get to the 1,000-day streak. I think that's an important number. I think he comes out the 3-time WrestleMania champion. He has main evented the past 3 years. That also isn't a category in its own. This guy's getting in the names of like a Bruno Sammartino, The Rock, Hulk Hogan. He is this legendary of a WWE force. Look to see him in acting soon coming up as well as he's in the prime of his life and his career. I got Roman Reigns in the main event over Cody Rhodes. How about you, Toads?
I got Cody Rhodes to make it short and sweet. He's back in the WWE after a hiatus. He spent time in AEW. He actually jump started the beginning of AEW, did a tremendous job. And as great as Roman Reigns' run has been, all great things must come to an end. I think they could use some fresh faces some fresh storylines at the top there. And we spoke of stars real quick here. I want to mention there will be a huge former UFC star, one of the biggest ever to do it, Ronda Rousey. She is in action this weekend as she's set to take place in a huge women's tag team match. For those UFC fans out there, you get a chance to see Ronda Rousey back in the ring, spent some time away the past couple of months due to injury. She's back, guys, and she's back on Sunday night, night two of WrestleMania, in a four-women's tag match, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Natalya and Shotzi versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, who is also in MMA, versus Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. So give me Cody Rhodes, and I'm going to stick with the star power. Give me Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler there. I'm excited to see these stars. Rhodes, Rousey, Brock Lesnar, the stars are out this weekend in full force.
All right, before we run out of time here, because we're coming up on it.
The Colts are on the clock.
Yeah! You talked off of my over my sound bite. There we go. All right, here we go.
I was too excited.
I went through a lot of trouble to find that. All right.
Play it again.
All right, the Colts are on the clock. I can find that. There we go. All right. Already, CJ Stroud is going to Carolina. We got AR-15 heading to Houston, so two quarterbacks off the board. And Will Anderson is heading to Arizona. Where are the Colts going, sir?
Oh, and I would love this for my WAP, but where the Colts are going from their strategic perspective, Chris Ballard is going to be taking Bryce Young out of Alabama. He likes a really smart quarterback. This guy seems to have it. I know everyone talks about the height playing a factor and all the things like that, but the intangibles are there. The arm is there. We'll see if he could take all the hits, but if Bryce Young is there at pick four, he is not getting past that point. The Indianapolis Colts are snagging him up, is what they hope to be their future QB for a long, long time.
Will Levis. That's where they're going. They're going to go Will Levis, and Joey will be furious.
Thanks, brother. Speaking of Cam Newton.
Speaking of furious, you got that clown Eddie for money tweeting the Braves at us will be second this year. You know what? Braves are going to be better than the Mets, and I would bet him on that if he actually paid his bets.
I like the fact that I saw that he bet the Mets on the futures bet because with his 32% win rate in basketball, he's got to be worse at baseball. He's got to be. So, yeah. I'm liking my odds.
He keeps going out of his way to tweet at us about the Braves. It's like,
because he's worried. He's worried.
Oh. He's scared.
He's scared.
If you're scared, you know what they say, go buy a dog.
Yeah, I haven't responded to it in weeks. I'm like, man, this guy is just.
I think the only way you have ghost mode.
Saw him and getting a tweet war and was saying, does anyone know anyone that wants to hire me to make college basketball picks? 70% is hard to beat. And they all came at him. They're like, we didn't 70% of what? And they're like, I held myself because I was, what I was going to say was, and I can't wear this anymore. What I was going to say was 70% lose rate is not what they pay you for it. And one guy chimed in. He goes, well, you would be a PR nightmare. You got to run. What is your walk-off tones?
Walk-off is enjoy WrestleMania weekend. Enjoy the Final Four, ladies and gentlemen. It's here. Enjoy it before it's too late and enjoy it before it's all gone.
What's your walk-off, Joey?
Bye, everybody. Go John Cena.
We'll see you manana, 4:05 first pitch, Braves Country Baseball, right here. Make sure to lock it in on the key and Braves Country HD. Tonight, River Dragon Hockey. We'll see you.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 first pitch. It's the Atlanta Braves at the Washington Nationals. Spencer Strider versus Josiah Gray. We'll have it all here, pitch by pitch, inning by inning, play by play, here on Braves Country. That's Spencer Strider Day, Saturday, April 1st, 4:05 Eastern, right here on Braves Country.